Ladies and gentlemen, the following segment of the podcast is presented exclusively by Hillsdale College. Now, in its 175th year, Hillsdale is a truly independent institution where learning is prized and intellectual enthusiasm is valued. Thank you for listening, and my sincere appreciation to Hillsdale for their sponsorship.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Levin. Our number is 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. You know, I spent a lot of time here, if you noticed, trying to change the narrative that's being pushed by the media, the Democrat, and the left. And the pressure is on. Why doesn't Trump give in? There's not enough votes out there. You know, finally he has a win. We'll get into that and so forth. There's no way in, no way out. What's going on here? He's not giving him intelligence briefings. It's not fair, and on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats created this election. Their lawyers created this election. Left-wing groups working with the Democrat Party created this election. The Biden campaign created this election. They went into these states and by hook or by crook, changed rules from one end of the country to the other. In many cases, unconstitutionally. That was their plan. And mail-in ballots of the sort that we've done in this country this election cycle have received no quarter in the history of this country. These aren't military ballots where we don't have a choice and where we can handle them. There's a certain number of ballots from a certain number of places. And so they used the Cloward and Pivens technique. They overloaded the system. They crashed the system. They grabbed power, and then they blamed their opponents. Early voting, earlier and earlier, mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, no signatures, no signature comparisons, no postal dates on postal mail, extended voting counting. These are all Democrat initiatives, not one of which is intended to ensure a faithful election. Quite the opposite. And nobody ever asked one of these Democrat Party reporters or Democrat Party members, why don't you believe in security? Who in the world would say there shouldn't be any signatures? Then they say, prove the fraud. Prove the fraud. Today they're saying enough is enough. It's time to end this. And they're being joined by certain Republicans. And so on day 9, despite what the Democrats did with this election, President of the United States on day 9 is supposed to say, okay, we're going to drop all canvassing. In fact, we're going to ask states to drop all canvassing. No recounts, even automatic recounts. We'll drop all our lawsuits. I lost. Now, that would be utterly irresponsible of the President of the United States. Utterly irresponsible. And the demands for this coming from the New York Times and the Washington Post and these other organizations is really quite appalling. You know, in the past, we could rely on the media to go into these cities and to help dig up irregularities and fraud. They used to lead the way. District attorneys used to lead the way. Now, they're part of the pack. Before we get to what happened in Pennsylvania, you need to stick with me all 3 hours. This is going to take a little time. If you can't stick with me on the radio, there's always the podcast. You can pick it up afterwards. I want to tell you about an election for governor in Chicago back in 1982. Excuse me, governor of Illinois, but what took place in Chicago. It's written by our friend Hans von Spakovsky 12 years ago. 100,000 stolen votes in Chicago. 100,000. They didn't find it in a letter, in a couple of boxes. They had the support of the media, the criminal justice system. It was an extraordinarily difficult, difficult endeavor. But when people who really do believe in good government get together, these things can be uncovered. That's clearly not the case. Not the case today. Some background. In 1982, Illinois was the setting for a hotly contested gubernatorial race between Democratic Senator Adlai Stevenson III, son of former governor and presidential hopeful Adlai Stevenson II, and Republican James Thompson, who had been the U.S. attorney. Big Jim Thompson, the incumbent, was a 15-point favorite going into the voting. And yet on election day, Adlai Stevenson came within 5,074 votes of capturing the governorship. Out of 3.67 million votes cast statewide, 0.4% margin. Stevens had carried Chicago by 3-1 with a winning margin of 469,000 votes, although Thompson won 60% of the vote in the rest of the state. After the results were in, Stevenson immediately filed suit contesting the results of the election and asking for a recount. He conceded defeat only when the Illinois Supreme Court 2 months later rejected his request for a statewide recount. Stevenson claimed there was evidence of voter fraud in areas of the state outside of Chicago. Although those claims didn't pan out, it's clear that the prospect of close judicial look at the conduct of voting in Chicago did not please many of Chicago's Democratic kingpins, already under pressure because of the federal criminal investigation of charges of vote fraud in the 1982 election. For that reason, many committeemen privately had expressed a hope that Stevenson would lose his bid for a recount. Both campaigns had complained to the FBI, but the federal investigation was really sparked by a party worker from Chicago's 39th Ward, who was upset by his precinct captain's broken promise to award him a city job for his participation in the vote fraud. The worker told a Chicago newspaper and then the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, quote, what he knew about vote fraud in the precinct, unquote. Good reporting by the local media. See, you won't get that in Philadelphia with the Inquirer and so forth, but nonetheless, good reporting by the local media helped fuel the investigation. And let me just stop here. You'll notice there is no good reporting on what's going on in Philadelphia on any news platform that the rest of us can see. They're not there. They're not digging in. They're not interviewing declarations. They're not people who've given declarations. They're not in there doing their own investigation. Instead, we have a reporter going to a commissioner of the election board who happens to be a Republican. Hey, is there any voter fraud? No, none. And that's the extent of it. That's the extent of it. Or what's the problem? There aren't going to be enough votes anyway. Go to a local Republican or a commissioner? That's not investigative reporting. Good reporting by the local media helped fuel the investigation. One wire story concerned a man listed as voting at a Skid Row precinct in the 27th Ward who'd been dead for more than 2 years. He was listed as living at the Arcade Hotel, and his signature was among those of 47 other voters listed as living at the hotel. But the operators and residents of the hotel told the Chicago Sun-Times that 41 of the 47 people didn't reside at the arcade. Now, this is where it's, well, that's, well, what's the problem? You still can't overturn the election. That's only 47. That's the kind of reporting we're getting. Rather than saying, wait a minute, let's pull the thread. Right, Mr. Producer? Let's pull the thread. There's a pattern developing here. The media aren't doing that. In its reporting, the Chicago Tribune discovered that the supposed home address of three voters in the 17th precinct of the 27th ward was a vacant lot. We already have affidavits in Pennsylvania about dead people and about other aspects of voter fraud. Scores of them. The paper also discovered that votes had been cast for seven residents of a nursing home who denied having voted their signatures on the ballot applications that were all forgeries. In fact, one resident had no fingers or thumbs with which to write a signature. The fraud was so blatant that the resident without fingers or thumbs was counted as having voted twice by the end of the day. Not surprisingly, Adlai Stevenson III easily won the 17th precinct by a margin of 282 to 30. But that's not enough to overturn the election. If you're a reporter, your curiosity should be piqued, but we don't have reporters anymore. These stories illustrated what was to be a recurring theme in the grand jury investigation. Oh, they had a grand jury investigation. Well, good luck getting a grand jury investigation, excuse me, in Philadelphia today with a Soros prosecutor. The theft of the identities and the casting of fraudulent votes on behalf of dead voters, prison inmates, and people who had moved, as well as forged ballots cast on behalf of the elderly and the handicapped. Even fictitious voters were invented and ballots cast in their names. Now, they didn't find this stuff in a letter or in a shoebox, ladies and gentlemen. It takes time. You have to find it in 100 different places, 1,000 different places. You're not going to find, here's the evidence, 100,000 ballots. It doesn't work that way. And yet, listen to the media. You know, that's not enough to overturn. They will not participate in this because they don't want Trump to win. They want Biden to win. And the whole so-called phony profession is of one mind. On December 14, 1984, Chief Judge Frank McGar, the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Illinois, publicly released the federal grand jury's report on the 1982 election, only the third time in the history of the court that a grand jury report had been made public. We don't have a federal grand jury working now in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. Why is that? The evidence revealed substantial vote fraud in Chicago during the November 2, 1982 election, found that similar fraudulent activities had occurred prior to 1982. What particularly struck FBI agent Ernest Locker was how routine vote fraud was for the precinct captains, election judges, poll watchers, and political party workers he interviewed. This is only 25 years ago, 35 years ago. They've been taught how to steal votes in elections by their predecessors, who had in turn been taught by their predecessors. Based on his investigation, FBI agent Lockler came to believe the claims, hotly debated among historians, that Mayor Daley, through the 1960 presidential election of John Kennedy, with massive ballot stuffing in Chicago. And that is a fact. This type of voter fraud, stated Locker, was an accepted way of life in Chicago, and it is in Philadelphia, too. Soon after the investigation started, it became evident this was not a case of isolated wrongdoing. Rather, a case of extensive, substantial, widespread fraud in precincts and wards throughout Chicago. The FBI investigators concluded that their regular tools, interviewing witnesses, obtaining documents, using handwriting experts to analyze signatures on documents, would not be up to the task. Now, what happened after that? I'm going to continue this after the break. Right now, we have volunteer lawyers who've spent 9 days in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, in Georgia, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, Nevada, who do not have subpoena power, who do not have a grand jury, who are trying to herd the squirrels, and they are under attack. Let me explain something to you, and one of them does include my wife. I'm very open about it. These are our patriots. These are our Minutemen. This is every bit as important as the Boston Tea Party. Our vote was attacked by the Democrat Party and their lawyers, by left-wing groups and their lawyers, by the Biden campaign and their lawyers. I understand why they want this to end right away. But win, lose, or draw, this should not end right away. And even after the Electoral College is over and a president has been selected, we need to get to the bottom of this. Because people are trying to destroy this republic by destroying the vote, your franchise, and then they want to destroy the Supreme Court and the federal judiciary, then they want to destroy the Senate and the Electoral College. This ain't beanbag, as they say. This is for all the marbles, as they say. More when I return.
Mark Levin.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires educated people and people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses and through its support of classical K-12 charter schools. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. The learning includes the Constitution. It includes the laws of nature and nature's God as described in the Declaration of Independence. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844, and it will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com. L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. LevinForHillsdale.com.
We only have a minute and a half left in this segment, but I want to continue this to give it context. You see, in this instance involving an election for governor in one city, you can see what it took over a several-year period to get to the bottom of this. I'm not done reading this to you, but you get the sense, and I will after the bottom. But we're talking about at least a half a dozen states now. We're talking about election rules that were formally changed, and in many cases illegally. We're talking about massive mail-in votes. We weren't even talking about that in Illinois and Chicago at the time. And we're talking about a relative handful of volunteer lawyers. Relative handful of volunteer lawyers from across the country who've now spent a week, their own time and their own money. Really good lawyers. I don't know about these big law firms. I'm talking about the lawyers in the field. Trying to get to the bottom of these things. And they got to separate gossip from reality. They got to separate conspiracy theories from reality. You know, people, Mark, look at this. Mark, look at this. I get a headache all the time. Well, they can't just put that in a filing and send it to a court. Watch the delay. They have to actually interview people. They have to track them down. And maybe one out of 20 pans out. Maybe. And then they have to determine if it's significant enough to bring in front of a court. And they're discovering many, many troubling things. And they're getting no help, none, from the media.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires educated people and people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses and through its support of classical K-12 charter schools. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. The learning includes the Constitution. It includes the laws of nature and nature's God as described in the Declaration of Independence. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844. and it will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com, L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, levinforhillsdale.com.
Mark Levin, tough as hell.
That's why I like Mark Levin. And I'm not sure a lot of people like him. He's tough as hell. But I like him. I love him.
Call in now, 877-381-3811.
I want you to keep a couple things in mind, and I will continue with this in a moment. This Democrat Party and Biden and their leaders, Schumer and Pelosi, they talk about the rule of law, but they don't mean it. They mean the rule of the Democrats. Look how little criticism they're getting in the media by civil libertarians, by historians and scholars, for their plan to destroy the Supreme Court. Whether it's this election or another election, we can't keep them from a majority forever. They have told us they're going to destroy the Supreme Court. Even the Supreme Court justices are passive in the face of what's going to happen to one-third of our government. John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the United States, who should be protecting that institution above all else, takes a pass on the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, which is utterly unconstitutional, and yet he does that empowering the illegal acts that will lead to the destruction of his own institution. The idiocy is absolutely, and cowardice, unbelievable. So we do not need lectures from the Democrat Party media. We do not need lectures from any Democrats about this process. Donald Trump hasn't threatened a single court in this process, state or federal. Not one. He'll get into it with a city commissioner who attacks him or a board of elections and so forth. He hasn't threatened anybody. He hasn't threatened the destruction of institutions. It's Joe Biden standing in front of a podium with a fascistic poster behind him, Office of the President-elect. We don't have an Office of the President-elect. We don't have two presidents at the same time, as I keep saying over and over again. And yet, according to Joe Biden, we do. Not one elector has been certified. No patience, not allowing the process to go forward. What is it that the president and the lawyers are doing? They're following the law. What is it that the Democrats did? They changed the law to accommodate their base, to accommodate their ends. This whole thing is Cloward and Pivens. Earlier and earlier voting, later and later counting, more and more mail-in votes, less and less safety measures and security measures for voting, eliminating signatures, eliminating signature comparisons, postal dates, in-person voting, just eliminate all those things that are necessary to make sure the vote is correct. And then they say, prove the fraud. We're not going to help you. The press is going to literally attack you. When in the old days, even back 35, 40 years ago, in Chicago, the local press wanted to know. The Philadelphia Inquirer could care less. The Detroit Free Press could care less. The New York Times and the Washington Post are running headlines on their front pages attacking the president, attacking their lawyers, interviewing the defendants, that is, the various state and city operatives. That's the nature of investigative journalism today. So let's continue with this. This Hans von Spakovsky piece from 12 years ago, the city of Chicago, the election for governor of Illinois, Adlai Stevenson III demanding a recount, which opens the door to media investigation, then a federal grand jury investigation, and the information begins to pour out after a two-year period. And he says, after all, to conduct a complete investigation, authorities would have to review virtually all the 1 million ballot applications submitted to the city of Chicago in the November election. as well as the voter list maintained by the election board for all of Chicago's 2,910 precincts, comprising approximately 1.6 million voters, to check for the names of voters registered in more than one precinct, as well as registered voters who were dead. See how they overwhelmed the system? And so when you have a commissioner of a large city or somebody on a board of elections saying, we found no fraud, you know they're frauds. So the FBI employed a new and unique technique back then in vote fraud investigation, a computer. This had never been done before. The FBI had to write a computer program that would match data between the list of registered voters, the list of individuals who had voted, and the other databases. And to that end, the FBI and federal prosecutors obtained death records from the Bureau of Vital Statistics, local, state, and federal prison records, the National Security List, Social Security List, Immigration and National Service records on aliens, driver's license records, even utility records, gas, electric, water, telephone, and so forth. Even a band of the most patriotic lawyers do not have the power of this kind of investigative activity. FBI agent Locker was shocked at the sheer magnitude of the number of fraudulent votes and the fact that fraud occurred in every single Chicago precinct. Now, had they not had a grand jury, had they not had the FBI, had they not have a federal judge pushing this, and had they not a software database to figure all this out over a period of more than 2 years, we wouldn't know about this. Again, so when we have media people, even friends of mine who keep saying, where's the evidence? It doesn't add up. You can't find 200,000. It's not going to change it. My God, you're a news organization. My God, why aren't you sending your people down there to find what the hell's going on? We have enough affidavits right now, sworn affidavits, that are showing patterns in the big cities in this country. And all we do is look at, we're 14,000 away, we're 36,000 away, you know, there's a recount. Where are the media? Where are they? Where are they? The sheer magnitude of the number of fraudulent votes. More than 3,000 votes have been cast in the names of individuals who were dead. More than 31,000 individuals had voted twice in different locations in the city. Thousands of individuals had supposedly voted despite being incarcerated at the time of the election, where they were not free to vote. And utility records showed that some individuals who voted were registered as living on vacant lots. Armed with that information, FBI agent Locklear did something unprecedented. He convinced his supervisors at DOJ FBI to dedicate all the agents of the FBI field office in Chicago for an entire week to do nothing but review all of Chicago's voter registration cards and ballot applications. So many signature comparisons were needed that the FBI flew in handwriting experts from its headquarters in Washington. And the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania said, no signatures. No signatures. Because those bastards are corrupt. They're in on it. So you can't track them down. No signatures, no signature comparisons, which is what the FBI needed and used to help uncover massive fraud. The Justice Department and the FBI have never concentrated that much manpower and resources before or since on investigating a voter fraud case. Teams of FBI agents were paired with assistant United States attorneys and assigned to investigate specific precincts, locating and talking to voters who had supposedly cast votes at the polling place. They quickly learned that the voters' signatures on ballot applications had been forged wholesale in many precincts. We got votes coming in with no signatures. We don't even know what the hell's going on. The investigation also revealed that there were an extremely large number of transients, incapacitated people, and senior citizens in whose names votes have been fraudulently cast when they did not themselves vote. And the investigation uncovered a variety of voter fraud techniques, preying on the disabled and elderly, impersonating absent voters, registering aliens, false registrations, casting fraudulent absentee ballots, buying votes, altering the vote count, interference by party officials. Hey, you Republicans can't come in here and monitor this. Lack of bipartisan election system. biased or inexperienced poll watchers. And on and on. But I saw one of my favorite news organizations. They sent one of the reporters to Philadelphia and interviewed a commissioner, a Republican, who had a red, white, and blue flag for a mask. There's no evidence of fraud here, he said. No evidence. Can you prove it? Can you prove it? Why were the Democrats and the Biden campaign and their left-wing organizations in court trying to destroy in state after state, county after county, the safeguards to our election system? Isn't that suspicious to anybody? Why were the Democrats, at the drop of a hat when COVID hit, demanding mail-in voting nationwide all of a sudden? Why were they telling their voters, stressing them to use mail-in voting? Why are they pushing election day earlier and earlier so more of them can use mail-in voting? That's why. Because that's the most fraudulent process that's in existence. And the media, in the lead-up to all this, kept saying, do you have evidence of fraud? There's no fraud in mail-in voting. When the vast majority of industrialized nations in Europe don't use mail-in voting anymore because it is fraught with fraud. You would have think the Holocaust was going on when the media wouldn't report to the American people about the Holocaust and the slaughter of 6 million Jews. Here, all we're asking them to do is look into the cities and find the fraud. It's there. We could use a few more FBI agents, a few U.S. attorneys, and assistant United States attorneys. And when the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, issued a directive to the United States attorneys across the country that if they find, you know, real and substantial instances of irregularities in the voting or the electoral system, that they should feel free to investigate them. He was attacked. Doesn't he know you're supposed to wait until after the election? You know, when the other party may control the FBI and therefore you'll never know anything? The Attorney General issued that statement, what, 48, 72 hours ago? He was trashed by the media and the Democrats, saying he's doing Trump's bidding. Let me tell you a little secret. America is now two countries. And I'm sure somebody will use this in their monologue tonight or tomorrow, but America is two countries now. A country of people who love America, who play by the rules, who believe in the system, who want to secure the nation, who revere our founding documents, and are willing to fight fairly. What's fair is fair, win, lose, or draw. Then there's another country that is corrupt, that is venal, that hates America as it exists, that wants to destroy America and replace it with something else. They will do it by destroying the Supreme Court and the judiciary if they have to. They will do it by stacking the Senate so they never lose another Senate again, by ramming through legislation, killing the filibuster rule, by destroying the voting pattern, the voting system in this country, so that people who live in red states will never be represented again, effectively. That's another country. That country, the country of the Democrat Party, is trying to devour our country. And enslave us to their country, where we have virtually no say, and they're already talking about enemies lists. Enemies lists. Enemies list is one step away from internment camps. You think I'm kidding? Their great hero FDR used internment camps. No, they're not going to do it tomorrow. They're not going to do it tomorrow. They may never do it. But the language is the same. Enemies lists. They have groups like Media Matters and Mediaite They have phony news organizations like the Huffington Post and the Daily Beast and other reprobate-run and organizations filled with the same kind of people. All in favor of enemies lists. These are very grave times. The president needs to fight on. These lawsuits need to take place. The canvassing and the recounts need to take place. In fact, much more needs to take place, but we're not going to get the assistance of the media, and we're not going to get the timely assistance of the FBI and U.S. Attorney's offices, despite what Bill Barr said in his authorization. They're just not going to be able to get off the starting line fast enough. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires educated people and people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses and through its support of classical K-12 charter schools. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. The learning includes the Constitution. It includes the laws of nature and nature's God as described in the Declaration of Independence. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844, and it will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com. L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com, LevinForHillsdale.com.
Mark, you're dragging us down. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, the president is fighting, and he must. These lawyers are fighting, and they must. I'm countering the narrative that is being fed to you day in and day out, but it's not enough to change the election. But this and but that. But we interviewed the commissioner of this, and he's a Republican, and the board of electors of that, and he's a Republican. He says this, and we looked in this state. The media aren't investigating anything. Interviewing defendants in lawsuits or public officials. Since when does that pass for investigative reporting? How about taking one of these filings? Looking at the affidavits, digging into what the allegations are. How about tracking down the Secretary of State, who's now been said to have ruled in a way that was illegal? Well, it doesn't matter. It's not that many votes. How about finding out what's going on? How about talking to some of these state legislators and seeing what they have in mind to address this, because they have the final say? If you're a real newsroom, there's so many avenues to pursue to get to the bottom of the various affidavits and allegations. Don't just tell us you don't think they're strong because somebody told you that. Don't just tell us there's not enough votes involved. We have no idea how many votes are truly involved here, and 72 million people are never going to be satisfied with what's going on today. I'll be back.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been quite a year. I think if we didn't have this coronavirus, in addition to this fraud, the president would have won by a massive landslide. Unfortunately, too many people are too stupid, and they blame the president for a virus, despite all of his really Herculean efforts including the coming vaccines and the therapeutics. But you should also be very concerned about something else. We now have governors and mayors dictating whether or not you can have Thanksgiving or how many people can come to Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving, where you're giving Thanksgiving for what you have. We now have politicians who can reach into your own home and into your family, where you have to decide who can sit around the table and who cannot, or whether or not you can have Thanksgiving with your family because of the virus. I've had about enough of this crap. And if I were purely on, well, if I wasn't on radio, I would use other words. Mayors and governors, I don't care what the damn courts say, have no authority to reach into your home, reach into your family, and tell you how many people can sit around a table and eat. Any government that has that power has unlimited power. Unlimited power. God forbid if Biden is inaugurated as President of the United States through this process that they've destroyed, you're going to see what kind of power he uses at the federal level with mandates about masks and other things. And they use health as an excuse, just as they use climate change as an excuse, just as they use racism as an excuse, just as they use economic inequality as an excuse for power, for a police state. And that's what you're seeing. And again, where are the civil liberties? They're nowhere. And you've heard it and you've seen it with your own two eyes and your own two ears. If thousands of people gather in the streets of America to cheer on Joe Biden, there are no rules. If 1,000 people go into the inner cities of the United States and beat people and burn buildings and attack the cops, we don't follow the science anymore. It doesn't matter. But if a family, particularly a large family, wants to travel to a family member's home for a feast, maybe once a year, twice a year, to thank God for what we have and to thank God for the country we live in, there the government is going to micromanage what takes place and if it takes place. It's the same city and state governments that have now reached into our institutions of faith to do exactly the same thing. And they have no answer when you confront them, if they're confronted at all. How can it be that Orthodox Jews in Brooklyn can't amass for a funeral or a wedding or a holiday peaceably, following their faith? But if Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and other come into the streets as a mob and attack and destroy and march and demand, that's treated completely differently. I'm convinced that what needs to happen here, and maybe some of it has, but I'm convinced that the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, just as it's being used in a number of these lawsuits in these various states, which treat Democrats one way and Republicans another way, that equal protection lawsuits need to be brought all over this country. All over this country. That's just a start in terms of challenging what's taking place here. But I'll tell you what's more frightening. So many in these blue states and these blue cities don't even believe in freedom. They don't even believe in their own freedom. despite marching and yelling and screaming. These police state tactics are being used against politicians that they vote for, with popularity that soars to 60%. I ask you a lot of questions during the course of every show. Let me ask you a question. If you have a governor that made a decision that resulted in the deaths of almost 12,000 senior citizens, certainly in part, a decision that was so absurd at the time, people said it was absurd, and you know who I'm talking about, Andrew Cuomo, Mr. Tough Guy, who I could take in about 15 seconds, Mr. Producer. Hey, but he's governor. Nipple rings and all. Man's got like 60, 70% popularity in the state of New York, mostly out of the urban areas and the blue areas. So what would it take to defeat a man like him? He can't be defeated. He can't be defeated. Because in these blue areas of a blue state, it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter. He can do whatever he wants. That's why Nancy Pelosi is speaker. She thought she had such a massive majority. She'd do whatever she wants. Who's going to stop her? The media's not going to stop her. Nobody else can stop her. She'll do whatever she wants. Chuck Schumer wants to destroy the Supreme Court, colluding with the Speaker of the House, and God forbid if they take the White House, who's going to stop them? Even the Supreme Court has become so passive, even worse, it's in a fetal position. Even worse, its Chief Justice has thrown in with these people. It can't even respond properly and protect itself as an institution. Well, its job is to protect all of our institutions. Thanksgiving. The city of Chicago, the mayor there has said Thanksgiving, I think she said Thanksgiving is canceled in so many words. Thanksgiving is canceled as shootings go on. The epidemic of black-on-black murder, which we never discuss, and I guess we never will. I guess we never will. Canceling Thanksgiving. Canceling services. Left-wing activities, okay. What kind of country is this? It's the two countries. The blue states and the blue cities, and the red states and the red areas. Some of us who don't live in these blue cities and blue states, we look at this and we're shocked. The purple cities, states and cities are moving in that direction, obviously, too. But we're shocked at the tyranny, the unquestioned power. And again, none of this is questioned on the CBS Evening News, on the NBC Nightly News, ABC, whatever the hell they call it. None of this is questioned in the goofy morning programs and the networks. None of it. None of it is questioned by editorials and columnists in the New York Times and the Washington Post. It is what it is. And yet the man who says we should open up our system, open up our churches, open up our schools, that we should allow people to go to Thanksgiving, he's the one who's called the fascist, the president. He's the one who said they don't follow the science. We have silenced a science now, which Facebook and Twitter will not allow posted on their sites. So you got to go to Parler. Throughout the world that says all these lockdowns, they not only don't work, they're counterproductive. And Biden's advisors-elect, can we call them that? They're all talking about lockdowns. Lockdowns. They take no consideration of all the death that causes, all the mayhem that causes. Not any. But what can we do about it? What can we do about it? We just had an election. Republicans turned out in record number. Tremendous vote in the various House seats, pretty decent in the Senate. But now we're fighting. We're clawing our way back when it comes to the President of the United States. They're stealing that election. And let me just say this as a footnote. How do I know that this election is being stolen? Because I'm not Helen Keller. That's how I know. When counting is taking place without Republicans. I saw the commissioner that was interviewed by one of our friends on TV. He said, no, people had access to counting. Excuse me, they had to go into court. And even a judge was convinced that the Republicans didn't have access. Why are you listening to that guy? As if that makes the case. But all the things that I've talked about in the first hour, the course of this week, the course of the middle and the end of last week, applies. We have a party that rejects Americanism, a party that embraced slavery and segregation and democratic socialism and whatever you want to call it, but never quite gets around to embracing our founding. In fact, it trashes our founding, and so do its mouthpiece, New York Times. So all this has caught up with us. And now you know why they hate and hated Donald Trump as much as they did. The never-Trumpers were never bright enough to get this. The Lincoln Project is, what can I compare them to? Well, what I want to compare them to will get me thrown off of radio by the FCC. So what? The Lincoln Project, let me just use two words. The camp guards. You understand what I'm saying, Mr. Producer? That's who they are. They're the camp guards. They pretend they're righteous, but they're the camp guards. What kind of camp guards are you? You know, camp, like day camp, for those of you who don't understand what I'm saying. They're the camp guards. And so these things are going on. These things are going on. All right, that's enough. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
You know, I recently learned about Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants. They have everything you could want, fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and much more. My wife and I take pride in our home, and that includes having a landscape that brings us serenity. And you too can find the perfect fit for your home based on your climate and space. Visit fastgrowingtrees.com, use code LEVIN, L-E-V-I-N, at checkout, get an additional 15% off your first purchase from their already very low prices. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And they offer a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee with free plant consultation forever. Right now, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And again, my listeners get an additional 15% off on their first purchase when using the code LEVIN at checkout. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code L-E-V-I-N. Now, the offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Please visit fastgrowingtrees.com for details.
We have a tremendous Life, Liberty, and Levin this Sunday. I hope you'll join us at 8 p.m. Eastern. Two great guests, one and then the other. Kayleigh McEnany, who's going to sit down for what I think is their longest interview ever. And I look forward to having her on the program, Kayleigh McEnany. There's a lot about her you don't know. I mean, she is smart as can be. She's a Harvard Law grad. Did you know that, Mr. Producer? And she has been spectacular. And the second guest in the second half of the program will be Joe Concha, who is one of the really top media reporters out there. And by that, I mean analyzing the media. And so with Kayleigh and Joe during the course of the hour, and of course me, little old me, we want to take a very good look at how the media have conducted themselves over the course of this election, before, during, and after, and generally. I think you're going to love the program. As I say, Kayleigh McEnany obviously has been on TV every day for some time. And she does interviews now and then, but not this long. And we're going to let her talk, and we're going to let her express what she knows and what she feels and thinks. And so I hope you will join us. It'll be a very important program. And, you know, I'm only 1 hour a week. That's all I want. I'm only 1 hour a week on Fox. And I try and make it count for something. I try and make it count for something. So if you watch it, I want it to be substantive and compelling and move the ball forward. I'm not a journalist. Of course, most journalists aren't journalists. I am an activist for liberty. That's exactly what I am. Even more than a broadcaster, more than an author, more than a lawyer. That's who I am. That's what I have believed since I was a little kid. And that's why you're here too, I think. So that'll be a wonderful show. I also want to remind you that it is my expectation that by the end of the year we will be leaving Facebook. Left-wing media is now calling Parler a right-wing site. Parler is not a right-wing site. Parler is a site. Since when did freedom of speech among adults become right-wing? Since the left-wing media has called it so. That's since when? Parler doesn't control what people say and post on its site. That's exactly the way Facebook and Twitter used to be, and that's how they got their special protection from Congress. But I will not be silenced, whether it's on television, whether it's on radio, or whether it's online through social media. It's that simple. There are now other avenues. Other avenues. Other avenues to speak behind this microphone, in front of a camera, and on social media. And life is just too damn short. Don't you think, Mr. Medusa? It's too damn short to buckle to these forces of tyranny. It's just too short. And I've always said, I've even said it to my kids, when I'm on my deathbed, I don't ever want to say to myself, why the hell did you surrender or compromise on your principles? I'm not saying you don't ever compromise. I said on your principles. If you're compromising to advance your principles because it's a strategic move, I get it. But if you're surrendering your principles, you have to not only live with that, you have to die with that. And there's just no damn reason to do it. And so I'm in the business of promoting liberty in this republic through various forms. And it's becoming increasingly difficult. And I'm just not going to tolerate it. And so we start with Facebook. And so I want you to come over to Parler. You go to Parler, at Mark Levin Show. I think we have about 3.1 million people there. We'd like to get the 4 million if we can before I depart Facebook. That's go to Parler, at Mark Levin Show. Those of you who haven't joined us yet, I hope you will en masse. So by this time tomorrow, maybe we'll be up to 4 million. I'll be right back.
The best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier uses Oxy technology that helps quickly destroy many viruses, odors, mold, and more. How do I know? I have it right here on my desk. People all over the nation are raving over how well the Thunderstorm helps freshen their homes. Musty, mildew smells just vanish after just a few seconds with the Thunderstorm being on. With thousands of five-star reviews, you know it works. Any odor will disappear when you use the Thunderstorm. Odors from litter boxes, trash cans, cigarette smoke, dirty diapers, and more are no match. And best of all, no filters to buy. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. You'll get 3 units for under $200. That's a fraction of the cost compared to other air purifiers that can go for over $600. And with this special offer, you're getting 3 units for under $200. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Put in discount code MARK3. That's MARK3 to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code MARK3.
going gets tough, but tough get Mark Levin. Call him now at 877-381-3811.
Tell me, ladies and gentlemen, what is the mortality rate from the coronavirus as of today? Does anybody know, Mr. Producer? Are they reporting it on TV? Where are the charts? Why aren't the media reporting the mortality rate? Rather than talking about the rate of cases. And the more testing you do, the more cases you find. But that aside, we have a record number of cases. Do we have a record number of deaths? I'm asking about the percentage of deaths that are taking place here. Isn't that relevant? If you're going to tell people Thanksgiving is canceled. Then we have these bizarre edicts from Cuomo, who really is a schmo, that restaurants must close by 10 p.m. at night, and same with bars. Mr. I don't understand that. Did something happen? Yeah, there's a coronavirus not active at 10:01 p.m.? The insanity of these fools. This guy Newsom in California, he's still on a high. His kids go to private school. He's got a winery. This guy lives one way, and he comes into the office, and he's a dictator. It's like the clown in Michigan, like the clown in Illinois, like the clown in New Jersey. They're all clowns. But they love their power, boy. Follow the science. How many dictators have said, follow the science? How many dictators have used science in horrific ways, as a matter of fact? What does Dr. Fauci have to say today? He says, there's no need for an absolute lockdown right now. Okay. The Fauci has spoken. No other scientist matters. No other medical experts matter. No researchers matter. Dr. Fauci has all knowledge. All knowledge. Now, if I could ever interview Dr. Fauci again, I'm sure that'll never happen. I would ask him on the spot, how many people today have died from suicide? You know, that's above his grade level. He doesn't watch suicides, heart disease, cancer. He's the infectious disease guy. So all these things that we talk about, depression, what happens in families, heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, cancer, people not seeing doctors, putting things off, putting checkups off, all this other stuff. Fauci's not in charge of any of that. He's just in charge of infectious diseases, so to speak. And so he talks about policies that have an incredibly broad effect throughout society, throughout science, throughout the medical communities, in areas where he has absolutely no interest and no authority. Are you aware of this? When's the last time Fauci was asked a tough question by anybody in the media? Never. Just like Joe Biden. Between the two of them, they've been in Washington 97 years. It always amazed me how Joe Biden can point out all the problems in our country and all the things he claimed that Donald Trump didn't do. And I'm thinking, this a-hole was in government almost half a century. And he's pointing fingers at other people. God forbid if he is president of the United States, what's going to happen is they're going to define success by what they nationalize, what they redistribute, what they ban, and what they compel. How fast this republic can be transformed into an autocracy. How fast the central government can compel all corners of this country and everybody in those corners of this country to do what it demands. This is what Thomas Friedman wants. This is what all the phony leftists, whether they be scholars or reporters or politicians, want. This is what the progressives taught 100 years ago. They've all read the same stuff I've read. I know who they are better than they know who they are. That's what's going on. You don't question authority. Their authority. Schumer wants to destroy the Supreme Court, that becomes righteous. Wants to destroy the Senate, that becomes righteous. I mean, the Supreme Court just won't do the right thing. It's controlled by right-wingers, you know, right-wingers who will steal all of our rights. You won't be able to abort with abandon in a government at taxpayer expense. What? We don't want a Supreme Court that actually follows the Constitution. The Constitution's invalid. Come on, it's modern times. This is what the progressives taught. Constitution, it's just parchment. It doesn't mean anything. Use it if you have to, but get around it if you can. And it was Wilson, Woodrow Wilson, the segregationist racist, who said, you know, among other things, many other things, it's the courts, that's where the action is. And he said, what are you talking about? They're not allowed. He said, that's my point. Nobody's going to question. The courts will do what the courts do. And so when you dare to put somebody like an Amy Coney Barrett on the court, and hopefully she'll be worth the fight, I think she will be. Roberts wasn't. Of course, there was no fight for him. The left knew more than we did. We'll see if Kavanaugh was worth it. So if the court doesn't do what the left wants it to do, there's no reason for the court. That's the way they view it. There's no reason for an independent judiciary. It's fine if we can call the judiciary independent if it's doing what we want it to do. Don't criticize it. I remember when conservatives would criticize court rulings, we were attacked. You're attacking an independent judiciary. Oh, oops, excuse me. Just when you question them. But now when they brazenly and openly talk about how they're going to politically, effectively, governmentally burn down the Supreme Court, it's righteous. Oh, okay. Those bastards deserve it anyway. It's a 6-3 conservative court, even though it's not. And the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, they deserve representation in our Senate. Ladies and gentlemen, if they didn't have guaranteed Democrats in there, the Democrats don't care about representation unless it supports their agenda. Otherwise, they go to judges. And if they don't support their agenda, then they go to autocratic fiats. Whatever works. When they win elections, they have a mandate. When they lose elections, they have a mandate with the bureaucracy and the permanent government. So in other words, they never lose. That's the way they see it. I spoke to a group of very prominent conservatives today. Maybe there were 70 of them, maybe 100 of them. You would know many of them. And they are earnestly trying to think things through and how we counter what's taking place in this country. And I said to them a number of things. It was an honor to be there because I'm not doing speaking, really. Oh, and by the way, I was wearing a mask. But then I took it off to speak. I hope that's okay. And they're all smart people. They know history. They know philosophy. They know these things. And I said to them, we're at a point today in our country that we either lose it or we save it. I don't care if there's disagreements over immigration, over trade policy, over social policy, over taxes, of which there are very few, but nonetheless, I don't care. Not today, not at this time. Everything's on the line. We must unite every faction of the conservative movement, every faction of the Republican Party, every faction of those who identify with neither but love this country. We must unite. Or we're going to lose it. There's no reason why we should constantly be now one election away from losing it, because that means we're going to lose it. We can't win all elections in the Senate and the House and the President. It's just not possible. Particularly when they're changing the rules. Particularly when they're opening the borders. Particularly when they're brainwashing our children. The odds are against us unless we confront these things. And I talked at some length about all those things. I I never thought we would face this in our lifetimes, to be perfectly honest with you. I've written 8 books now. One about my dogs and my family, and the other 7 about all of this. I don't expect you to read every one of them, seriatim. But if you have, and you do read each one of them and have seriatim, then you know that this was not this was expected, but not at this point in time. And it's here. It's facing you. It's confronting you. I don't want to hear another damn complaint about these patriotic lawyers in courtrooms right now as you as I speak and you listen. Are fighting for our survival. I don't want to hear a damn thing about these lawyers who are getting dirt under their fingernails and walking the streets and vetting and interviewing individuals or witnesses and taking affidavits, volunteering their time, leaving their families and their jobs to do it. I don't want to hear another former federal damn prosecutor on TV and another fat and happy host on TV asking me, well, do the numbers add up? I don't know. Does liberty matter? Does the Constitution matter? Do elections with integrity and the franchise matter? Shouldn't that be the focus? Shouldn't you damn reporters be in the field with these lawyers? The Thomas Paines and the Paul Reveres, all of them, great patriots. They're the last line of defense. Lawyers. Because their lawyers got to the battlefield before our lawyers. And now we're having to fight back. And in some of these battlefields, we're up against crony judges, elected judges, who've worked hand in glove with the Democrat Party. I don't want to see another interview of a Secretary of State or a Board of Election official or a county commissioner. They're the defendants in these damn cases, for God's sakes. We must keep our resolve. We must keep our resolve. Elections are about what kind of country you want. What kind of country you want. And when this battle's over, and again, God forbid, should we lose, there are more battles to fight. Every damn regulation he tries to put in place, every damn executive order, every damn policy, we must fight. You think I'm kidding when I call this Radio Free America? I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding when I say I'm leading, or certainly going to lead from behind this microphone, the resistance? I'm not kidding. It's not a joke. I can't speak for the other hosts, but I've been an activist my entire life, a conservative activist and a proud conservative activist. The Reagan Revolution, the Tea Party, and now. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer? Woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
I will get to callers next hour, I promise. So we have we can only take five calls. We have the board filled with five people, some have been waiting a very long time. So I promise I will get to you after the top of the hour, soon thereafter. Not immediately, but soon thereafter. What is next year's technology for skincare? And what if you can try it for free? For a very limited time, you can get the Genicel for bags and puffiness to try in the comfort of your home. Am I right about this, Mr. Producer? And Mr. Producer likes this stuff. He rubs it all over his face. And I think it's helped a lot, Rich. You'll also get the Genicel Retinol Extra Ultra, brand new for 2021, also free. Retinol Ultra is perfect for sensitive skin, and this cutting-edge technology uses a natural retinol alternative with all the proven clinical effects of retinol without any irritation, also free. Seriously, folks, I have a friend, I've talked about it before, he's a cardiologist. He loves this company. He loves their products. And they do make a difference when I look at them. You be the judge. Wrinkle-free, clean, smooth, and vibrant skin, a face where you can't see under-eye bags, or even fine lines, wrinkles, and crow's feet, or simply, you don't pay. Hello? You don't pay. Go to Genicel.com, G-E-N-U-C-E-L.com, or call 800-SKIN-604, 800-SKIN-604. Now, the combination of Genicel for bags and puffiness and Retinol Ultra will take care of bags under the eyes, fine lines, laugh lines, firmness, smoothness. It gives you a younger texture, guaranteed, or you simply don't pay. Now, for your 30-day free trial, that's right, 30-day free trial, log on to Genucel.com, G-E-N-U-C-E-L.com. That's Genucel.com. Or give them a call at 800-SKIN-604. Just remember to use my name, Levin. That's what they call me. Now, you'll get a crash course into home title theft if you don't protect yourself. You better pray this crime never happens to you because it'll ruin you financially. Here's how easy it is. The legal titles to our homes are digitized, and they're kept on government and business servers and in the cloud where they can be hacked. A cyber thief finds your home's title, forges your signature on a quitclaim deed, stating you sold your home to him. Done. Then he takes out loans against your home until all your equity is gone and leaves you in debt. Now, you won't know until the collection calls pour in. You lose your home, and yet you still have to pay on it. You're not protected by insurance, your bank, or common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock protects you. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect tampering, they help shut it down cold. Cold. So please go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's HomeTitleLock.com, code RADIO. HomeTitleLock.com, code RADIO. Marty, Nashville, Tennessee on Sirius Satellite. Marty, go right ahead.
Hey, Mark, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
You've nailed it at every point tonight. You have absolutely nailed it. They have overloaded this system with fraudulent votes, with everything you can possibly imagine. I've never seen anything like it. Mm-hmm. So the real issue here is it's almost like a fox hunt. Are you going to chase the fox or are you going to chase the rabbit? Mm-hmm.
But look at the institutions that are arrayed against these patriotic lawyers. Look at the institutions arrayed against them. The same institutions that pushed the Russia hoax, that were perfectly happy with the FBI spying on the Trump campaign. Let's remember who was vice president then. It was Biden. Biden is a nasty, despicable man. He always has been a nasty, despicable man. He's a complete fraud, and he will push this ultra-left-wing agenda. Don't listen to all the hype. He's going to push it because he wants a legacy for himself. And he wants the legacy to be that he's the next Franklin Roosevelt. Mark my words. I'll be right back.
from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this final hour of the podcast is sponsored exclusively by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Now over 2 million conservative members strong, AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we care about, faith, family, and freedom. Thank you for listening, and please support AMAC. And you can become a member at amac.us/join.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. I want to get to one thing, then we'll get to callers, and we have a wonderful guest. Pennsylvania today, Fox News, Ron Blitzer. A Pennsylvania judge ruled in favor of the Trump campaign Thursday, ordering that the state may not count ballots where the voters needed to provide proof of identification and failed to do so by November 9. State law, by November 9, for God's sakes. State law said that voters have until 6 days after the election, this year that was November 9, to cure problems regarding a lack of proof identification. After the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled that mail-in ballots could be accepted 3 days after the election, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Kathy Buchvart, she's an ultra-leftist, submitted guidance that said proof of identification could be provided up until November 12. She just decided she's in charge. That's 6 days from the ballot acceptance deadline. The guidance was issued 2 days before Election Day. The court concludes that respondent Kathy Buchvart, in her official capacity as Secretary of the Commonwealth, lacked statutory authority, in other words, broke the law, to issue the November 1, 2020 guidance to respondents' county boards of elections, insofar as that guidance purported to change the deadline for certain electors to verify proof of identification, said the judge. So this has been poo-pooed all over our magnificent American media. Might as well be communist Chinese media or fascistic Russian media or Islamo-Nazi media from Iran, whatever. It's our anchor, that's for sure. And they said, well, they already segregated them, so what's the problem? They haven't been counted yet. The point is they're not going to be counted. Now, keep something in line. This case is not the United States Supreme Court case, but it is an important case. And as Ron Blitzer over at Fox News writes on the Internet, this was in line with the Trump campaign's argument, which was that there was no basis in the state's law to extend the identification deadline, and that Buchvart did not have the power to unilaterally change it. Now, she should be coming under withering criticism from sea to shining sea tonight. She's not, because she's a leftist. She's a leftist. And I remember when she did stuff like this, she'd hold news conferences and talk about the suffragettes and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And so they camouflage their lawlessness in righteousness. Have you noticed that, Mr. Producer? Let me repeat it so the backbenchers can hear me. They camouflage their lawlessness in righteousness. They always do this, the left. So they await to hear from the Supreme Court of the United States. And we'll see if those justices do their job or not. And if they don't, they're going to come under withering criticism from me and others. And they should. Because if they don't do the right thing here, chiseled forever will be disastrous elections. Disastrous. I said I'd take some calls. Lorraine! Tucson, Arizona. I love Tucson, Arizona, where they have the biggest gem show in the world in February. I don't know if they're going to do it this year, but nonetheless, it's a magnificent place. The great KNST. Lorraine, how are you? Hello.
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to talk to you about the virus and the fact that it seems like all the tyrants in our country are basically showing their ugly heads because of this virus, this so-called pandemic, which I know it's a real virus, but for a virus that has like a 99-point-whatever-it-is-percent recovery rate.
Okay, so what's the mortality rate today? They haven't told us.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
You know if it was bad, they'd be telling us.
Yeah.
And
oh,
so
yeah,
now
definitely.
They're very shifty. So now they move to cases. We have a record number of cases. Okay, what's the mortality rate? What? What?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Exactly. And so I wanted to give you two examples of how these mandates are really hurting people. My daughter, first of all, my husband and I have a two-year-old daughter who was born blind. And so I can't put a mask on her face. She would not know what's going on. She's 2 years old. And she needs her ears. So a lot of times I can't wear a mask and neither can my kids because she has to hear our voices very clearly. But we get harassed in the stores like you wouldn't believe. People making comments about how we're going to, you're going to get arrested or this or that, making rude comments and quite frankly being very threatening.
I'm sorry you have to put up with this stuff.
It's all right, but the thing is that these mask mandates and the lockdowns, all these tyrannical orders that they think that they have the right to do because of a virus, it's creating hostility, you know, between American citizens. It's completely ridiculous. And so we get treated.
And by the way, I think if liberals were told, seriously, that you have to stick a spoon up your nose and that will help fight the virus, you'd see them all walking around with spoons up their nose.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're not even following, you know, what they call science or whatever else. Because, you know, the masks don't work. That's the facts because the virus is too small. It gets right through. So this whole thing.
85% of the people who get this virus have been wearing masks.
That's right. And even if it did stop the masks, the virus, I don't think they would have a right to make us wear one anyways. At some point, there's personal responsibility. If people want to wear a mask, just like if they wash their hands, nobody sits there and watches everybody who leaves the public restroom to make sure they wash their hands properly. You know,
don't get my mind going on that one. That kind of grosses me out. But anyway, go ahead.
Gross. I wash my hands because it's personal responsibility, but mm-hmm. They want to force things on us. And another thing is, you know, my husband, he works.
Let me slow you down a second. You make a very interesting point, though. I'm going to go back to the bathroom. They don't have monitors in these restrooms. And all you ever see are signs for employees. If you're an employee, make sure you wash your hands thoroughly or something. They never say, if you're a grotesque customer, make sure you wash your damn hands, do they?
No, they don't. Exactly.
Anyway, go ahead.
Exactly. No, that's too true. And my husband works in manual labor, and, you know, he's gotten the word that they have to wear a mask. And if he doesn't wear a mask, then he's sent home with no pay. And we have six children, you know, one of who is handicapped. So we can't even afford to, you know, play their game and be like, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. You know, so.
No, you got to do what's good for your family and so forth. You got to watch out for yourselves, you know.
I know, but this.
So if he has to wear a mask to make money, and you got six kids, then I guess you just have to do what you have to do these days.
Yeah, but with your background as a lawyer, is there anything that we can do to push back against these?
No, the system is rigged.
Yeah,
I can't think of a state judge who'll do the right. Now there've been a couple, but what they're going to do is they're going to hide behind health. That we have this massive expanse of cases. They used to talk about the mortality rate. They don't do that anymore. So the science doesn't really matter. The science doesn't really matter. But
so it's like talking to a
just because I'm a lawyer doesn't mean I know what the hell to do about it.
Yeah, well, I was hoping that you'd have some kind of magical solution that, you know.
I've got one. Just wear a neck brace. I've always been told, wear a neck brace. That can't hurt you. I'm just kidding. You know, lawyers used to tell people when they're going to go, wear a neck brace. Oh, okay. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you. But I do want to tell you this. I'll bet your little girl is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, she is. She looks like a little porcelain doll. She has red curly hair, and she's just as cute as pie. But she was born with a rare disability, so she was born with no eyeballs, actually. So
I'm sorry.
But she's... Yeah. It's okay. Thank you. God has been really good to her, and she's amazing and spunky and everything else. So,
well, it sounds to me like you and your husband are amazing. So I want to wish you all the best, and God bless you.
Thanks. God bless you, too. Thank you for everything you do, Mark.
No, Lorraine, thank you for what you do. I appreciate it. Lynn, Alexandria, Virginia, the great WMAL. Lynn, are they done pulling down monuments in Alexandria, Virginia? Yes or no?
I'd say no. You know, they're never done pulling down monuments, destroying our history.
Well, I hope they put up, God forbid if Joe Biden becomes president, I hope they put up a lot of his monuments so we can pull all of those down. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, God. I would do that. I would love that. But, you know,
remember his racist history that the media covered up for all those months during the campaign? Remember all that racist crap that came out of his big mouth? Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, I just noticed something, and ever since November 3rd, I have not heard a single Democrat talk about how we need to get rid of the Electoral College. And
that day's going to come.
Shows their
No. But that day's going to come, and I'll tell you why. When they win by it, it's all great. But to have a permanent majority, there's certain things they have to do and they want to do. Destroy the judiciary, and they're planning on doing that, even though the judiciary 80% of the time is in their back pocket. It's not good enough for them. Destroy the Senate so there's never competition of viewpoints and the Republican effort to take it back. It will be pointless. Make sure you get rid of the filibuster rule so any cockamamie idea you have, you can just push right through like crap through a goose. And then you must destroy the electoral system. You must destroy it, as they have in other areas, like the state of California. They've basically destroyed deadlines and all the rest of it. And the reason is they are very angry that the places in this country that grow the food, that produce the energy, and take care of the parts of the country that can't do those things for itself, which are less populated but tend to have bigger geographical areas, they are furious with the arrangements that were made at the Constitutional Convention to ensure that we had a united country. So they're going to tear this country apart, and they're going to push this country to the brink. You saw it this summer. They have no problem with violence, and they want to get the cops out of the way, and then they want to get the Second Amendment out of the way. Yellow.
Absolutely.
Yellow. All right, my friend. Anything else?
I agree with you 100%.
I mean, look what they did to our state of Virginia. It was a reliably red state. Now it's a reliably blue state.
Oh, gosh. They
almost overnight, really, in a period of 3 to 5 years.
And and that's actually one reason why I am getting out of Virginia and heading to Arizona.
And by the way, we have great... Well, that's like the jumping from the pot to the kettle. But I will say this. We have a great governor, don't we? He doesn't remember if he wore blackface or a Klan outfit. We have a great lieutenant governor, don't we? Accused of rape by two women.
Oh.
We have a great attorney general who confessed, yes, I had blackface when I was in college or whatever it was. And look at the tremendous senators we have. Mark Warner. Now, if that guy's not a freak, I've never seen a freak. And he just pops up every 6 years. You know what he said? You were here in the campaign, America. He says in this year, And I got the $2 trillion for the relief bill. Oh, yeah, I did. And my opponent, who's a war hero, lost one of his legs, by the way. And my opponent is an extremist who doesn't think you should wear a mask. And they vote for this idiot. They vote for this clown. It's amazing.
Crossed paths. Yeah.
What?
I've actually crossed paths with Mark Warner twice. And he's just a very nasty, rude person, too.
Was he wearing a raincoat trying to sell you cigarettes?
No, it's just that once was at a campaign event in Buena Vista. It was one of the big parade there, and the other time was at a grocery store. And both times he just had this really nasty smelly.
Yeah, he's very. He was at the grocery store. He wasn't in the vegetable and fruit section, was he?
No, this is checking. He was ahead of.
I understand. That's where he likes to hang out.
Yeah.
Oh yes, oh yes.
The fruit section.
Especially likes the grapefruits. I understand. All right, my friend. Sorry, I'm a little giddy. I have to make myself laugh. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest growing organizations in America, now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
You know, the IQ in the aggregate of people who work in the media is so low, it gets stuck on the bottom of my shoe. Tom Porter is the unknown comic who writes at the loathsome Business Insider. Now, I have explained this now for a week, Mr. Producer. I've written about it. I've explained it. I never said, and I know you in the audience are getting worn down by this, I never said the state legislatures should pick the electors, even though they certainly have the power to do that under the Constitution, and early on in our republic, a number of them did. I said, by citing Article 2, Section, I'm talking slowly, so Tom Porter, the unknown comic at the loathsome Business Insider, can pay attention, follow the bouncing ball, one syllable at a time. I said that the laws, the election laws that were put in place by the state legislatures, are the law of the state. Not the lawlessness that the Democrats and the media want, like you, you punk. You don't even believe in the Constitution. Now, reading is fundamental, and yet you don't get it. So the laws that were in place, passed by the state legislatures, which are the only bodies that have the power to determine how the electors are chosen. I didn't say they should choose the electors, but how they're chosen. We call these state election laws, state election statutes, Tommy. That's what should be enforced, and that the state legislatures should enforce their laws if you have rogue courts. Get it? I didn't say we should pack the state courts like the Democrats want to do with the U.S. Supreme Court. No. I didn't talk about anything that's lawless. I said follow the Constitution. That case, in part, is before the Supreme Court today. So Tom Porter is a POS. He's an idiot. And I will post something in a moment so that he will be remembered for all time in the cyberspace world as a hemorrhoid. May I say that with all due respect, Tommy? Look, I didn't call him a bleeding hemorrhoid. I just called him a hemorrhoid, Mr. Producer. What's the problem? All right, here. Hold on one second. I want to send this to you so we can get this posted. There it goes. Wait a minute. I didn't add a valid recipient. Aren't you a valid recipient, Mr. Producer? All right, here we go. And we'll put it up for our millions and millions. We have... Would you check Parler and see how many followers we have over at Parler? The media on the left, they're very upset about Parler. Oh, this right-wing site called Parler. It's not right-wing. Freedom of speech is for everybody. But maybe it's only conservatives now. All right, let's take a quick call. Let's slip one in here. Steve, Springfield, Massachusetts, XM Satellite. Steve, you're on the air. Go.
All right, thanks, Mark. It's a great honor. I'm following you on Parler.
Thank you.
I made sure and did that. And before I get to my point, I've been studying Woodrow Wilson in Jonah Goldberg's book, Liberal Fascism. And a matter of fact, I've got his
Has Jonah book, been studying his book lately?
What's that?
I hope Jonah's been studying his book lately. He is a hate-on for Trump like nothing I've ever seen. But it's okay, these never-Trumpers. Oh. Now we're going to have a... a period of liberal fascism, and we'll see how it goes. Don't hang up on Steve. We'll bring him back, and I'll be right back.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest growing organizations in America, now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
Blasting conservative fire. The Mark Levin Show. Call in now at 877-381-3811.
What we need to see as the leader, in my view, of the resistance movement, is resistance. There's not a Republican governor of the country that should comply with any mandate that comes from Joe Biden and his mad scientists. God forbid if he's president. We have governors now telling people not to speak loudly. We have mayors that are canceling Thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, this is abject tyranny. I'm not talking about being violent or any of that sort of stuff. I'm just saying resist it. Have Thanksgiving. But these governors who've been preaching federalism, these Republican governors, they need to exercise federalism. You must resist, you must challenge, you must litigate, you must do whatever you have to do. You must not comply with fascistic police state directives that come out of the White House. The left, the Democrats, Tom Friedman types, they were very angry with Donald Trump because he refused to do that which they demand, and yet they called him a dictator for refusing to do it. These are sick psychopaths, aren't they? Schizophrenic, but absolute psycho jobs. Try and stop me from going to Thanksgiving. We have a wonderful guest. America's doctor, Dr. Mark Siegel. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mark. You left out one thing. You're allowed to speak loudly if you're at a celebration for Joe Biden. Then you could speak loudly all you want.
That's
true. You
can
spit into the air. You can hug. You can scream. And then Senator Chuck Schumer is going to come by with a cell phone and hold it out so you can scream your congratulations over to Joe Biden himself, right?
This is why I love you, Dr. Siegel. And by the way, you don't need to comment on that. That Schumer's one big weirdo. All right, now, Dr. Siegel, what do you think about us going to Thanksgiving? Is that okay?
I think Thanksgiving is a huge part of what we are. We have to say thanks. We have to go to Thanksgiving. I'm not letting the turkeys off this year. I'm sorry. I guess there's not a single Democrat turkey out there, but I want my turkey, and I'm going to have it. And by the way, I'm going to be visiting my parents in their mid-90s who got over COVID-19, as you know. They actually took hydroxychloroquine. They got better, and they're going to wear a mask, but I'm going to have Thanksgiving with them.
Well, of course, we'll all be careful.
I don't know how much longer they're going to be on this planet, Mark.
Of course, you're right. No, doctor, you're absolutely right. My mother-in-law, she'd kill me if I told her age, but she's in that ballpark. Not that old, but in that ballpark. We're going to spend Thanksgiving with her, and no damn politician is going to tell us otherwise. And can you tell me what the mortality rate is right now on the coronavirus?
Well, whatever number I tell you, it's going to be a lot less than that because you're still only talking about reported cases. So if I tell you that the mortality rate is say one in a hundred. It's probably a lot less than that. One to two in a hundred. It's probably way less than that, because we're definitely not picking up all of these mild cases. I'll tell you how I know that personally, Mark. I pick them up by antibodies. People come to see me. I'm doing my own study. I'm checking antibodies on everybody that comes to see me or televisit, whatever it is. And I'm seeing antibodies. I said, wait a minute. When did you have this thing? And they said, oh, I had a cold about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And well, that was probably it. So those cases are completely under the radar, and I'd say two or three times number of cases that we're reporting are very, very mild.
I'll tell you how I know the number's low, even the official number, because the media never report it anymore. They're going with the number of cases. In other words, it's like the P under the three shells, you know, they keep moving it around. It's number of cases, then it's number of confirmed cases, and it's mortality rate. They don't tell us the mortality rate because, as you point out, the mortality rate, look, life is life, whether it's cancer, however you die, it's not something we wish. But I'm saying the fact of the matter is the rate is extremely low.
You know what else they're not reporting to us, Mark, and you're about to ask me this. I'm going to answer your question before you ask. I call suicide from someone who loses their job because of COVID a COVID death. And I'm monitoring a restaurant owner in Texas who lost her bar. She tried so hard to open it. She lost her bar. It was closed three times. And that's not due to the governor of Texas, by the way. That's just a local ordinance. She ended up moving to Florida, and she's back on drugs. That's a COVID disability, COVID-related issue. And what about people that don't get their teeth fixed? And what about cancer that I miss because nobody gets the screening? And what about heart disease that doesn't get checked? And what about the fact that the rate of depression in this country is up to 30% now?
Now, let me ask you a question. This isn't to be provocative or attack. Dr. Fauci's in charge of one thing. He's got blinders on. That's infectious diseases, correct?
Yes.
All right, let me pursue this. So he's not tracking how many heart attacks there are, how many suicides there are, like you're talking about, how many people who are dying from diabetes, how many people are not seeing the doctors, how many this, that. That's not in his portfolio, is it?
No, in fact, what he is a great vaccinologist and a great virologist, and that's why when he talks about the vaccine, I listen. But he's not looking at all at the consequences of this to the extent that we need to look at it. And that's a deeply disturbing problem that's been throughout the entire thing.
Go ahead.
By the way, it gets worse because the people coming in under Biden, I mean, you know, the epidemiologist is not a virologist. The guy who's saying shut us down for 6 weeks, Osterholm, he's not a virologist. And Ezekiel Emanuel is a healthcare rationing.
Oh, I know.
He's already figured out, Mark, that people over a certain age shouldn't get the vaccine because he said he didn't want to live past 75. Guess who needs the vaccine?
Biden.
People over 75, but he's saying no. And by the way, he's also talking about exporting it to other countries already.
All right, doctor, how old is Joe Biden?
78.
So I guess he shouldn't get the vaccine. How old is Nancy Pelosi? She's 80.
Can't tell by her hair. I thought maybe she was 76.
I can go on, but I don't want to get you in trouble. Now that said, here, but this is what I want to underscore. When Dr. Fauci comes out and makes these, I'll say, Castro-like statements about what everybody should do, people need to understand that Dr. Fauci has a very narrow lane. Dr. Fauci is not the federal government's scientist. He's not the federal government's expert. He is an infectious disease expert. He's not an expert on heart disease. He's not an expert on kidney disease. He's not an expert on any of these other things. And if he's tracking them, it's almost as a side issue. So when people say, follow Dr. Fauci, what you're saying, and others are saying, wait a minute, there's a lot of stuff we have to look at here. Don't just follow one expert, one scientist, and one doctor, correct?
Yeah, I want to add something to that. It's about fear. As I wrote in my book, COVID, it's about fear.
What is the name of your book again?
COVID, the politics of fear and the power of science.
Mr. Producer, put that up on my social sites, please. Go ahead.
Fear is what's getting us into this, and let me explain about that. We're so frightened that we're looking for a fear leader. You know who a fear leader is? Mark Levin. You know who a fear leader is? Dr. Mark Siegel. You know who a fear leader is? President Donald Trump, who gets over COVID-19 and he gets right back out there campaigning at 74 years old. Yeah. And he's showing, not that he's taking it, diminishing it, he's showing he can get over it. That's a symbol of fighting fear. Somebody who's talking lockdowns and who's talking hunkering down and not having Thanksgiving is giving into the fear. So when the public in their fear turns to one of those people, they're making it worse.
Exactly right. And your book is an excellent book, and I have it right here on my desk here, and I want to encourage people to get it over the holidays. If they want to get your book, then go to Mark Levin Show Facebook until the end of the year, and then I'm pulling out. Mark Levin Show Twitter, but most of all, Mark Levin Show Parler. Go to Parler at Mark Levin Show. We have 3.1 million followers there. I want to get up to 4 million, and then I want to say goodbye to Zuckerberg. Anything else, Doctor?
No, I want just to end by saying that there's a single street cleaner outside my office here in New York, and Bill de Blasio is next to him for a photo op. But you can't get any other streets cleaned here. This city's going down, Mark.
You know, it's run like a third world republic. You know, the people in power get whatever they want, and then they decide, you know, the Jews can't get together on Sukkot, but the rioters and the mobsters can get together whatever they want. I mean, it's really sick, to be honest with you.
And the bars are closing at 10 p.m., but the bartenders are all going over to Gracie Mansion. That's what's happening.
Well, let me ask you another question. So the bars close at 10 p.m. What happens at 10:05 p.m.?
Well, people mull around on the street.
But where's the virus?
Well, that's the point. How come the virus suddenly appears at 10:05? It's that imposition of regulation without public health thought that we're dealing with here. And it's nowhere more than in New York right now.
It's unbelievable. Dr. Mark Siegel, we love you here. I want to thank you. The book is COVID, The Politics of Fear and the Power of Silence. COVID, The Politics of Fear and the Power of Science. It's the book to get, honestly, for Thanksgiving, to read it, to share the information in there. Because if you're like me, you're going to go to Thanksgiving. God bless
and
you, my
too.
Friend. Yes.
And also go to Mark Levin to fight the fear, please.
You're very kind. All right. Be safe, doctor.
Have a great night.
You too. He's terrific. I love this guy. I really do. He's absolutely terrific. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest growing organizations in America, now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
You know why we couldn't wear masks early on during this virus, ladies and gentlemen? Dr. Fauci told us why. There weren't enough masks. But Dr. Fauci has been running the infectious disease empire in the United States government for 37 years. Why didn't he make sure there were enough masks? And Obama and Biden, no masks. All right, let's get going here. Let's see. Chuck, Wausau, Wisconsin, the great WSAU, a longtime affiliate. How are you, Chuck?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Go for it, baby.
Well, I just had a logic brain moment, especially listening to your caller from Arizona about the masks. And I've seen more and more people wearing them. I've seen people wearing them in their cars. I've begrudgingly worn them in stores.
Why would you wear it in the car? Why would you wear a mask in the car?
I don't know. I'm just...
Must be a Biden supporter.
I've never seen it more and more. Well, that's why I'm wondering if everybody...
You know the joke line now, don't you? Chuck, if you see a person in the car wearing a mask, you know they're a Biden supporter.
Oh, that, yes. Of course, I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if all these people are wearing it...
If you see a legal analyst doing things he shouldn't do in front of Zoom, you know he is a liberal.
Yeah.
Anyway, go right ahead.
Right. Anyways, with all this being done, how come the numbers keep going up if these masks are supposed to stop the spread of it?
Isn't that a great point? And it's so simple. They say we're not wearing masks. I don't know about you, Chuck. Everywhere I go, people are wearing masks.
Right.
Really? And a couple of these people are liberals, and I said, I understand Dr. Fauci said put a bag over your head.
I like the goggles one I heard for a while.
Yeah, wear goggles. Yeah, that's right. Wear a wetsuit with flippers. Oh, this is getting good. All right. Thank you very much, Chuck. John, Easterville, Iowa. Quickly, my friend. XM Satellite, go.
Yeah, Mark, you know, one thing I think we could do well with in this country is if we adopted, instead of getting rid of the Electoral College, expanded into the state levels so that all these red counties like in Minnesota are not wiped out by a couple of blue counties out there out in Minneapolis.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. That meeting in Philadelphia will never happen again. It'll never happen again. The brilliance that was in that room and the brilliance of what they did to set up our government, it'll never happen again. We have we have the mob that has let loose in society, and their masterminds who are actually quite fascistic. But the mob is too stupid to understand it. And this is typical in many of these neo-Marxist and Marxist revolutionary types. So we're never going to have, I don't believe, an event like that again.
Well, let me just say this real quick before you get off the air. We've got these states up here. I'm in Iowa, but just north of me, 11 miles is Minnesota. These people are irate about what's going on up there. Mm-hmm. Their state legislatures are red. These legislators could adopt that.
Is Minnesota red or is it half and half?
Within the state legislature, listen, I'm only going by what they're telling me. Their legislators, they tell me, are red. So whatever the case may be, when you have a red state, when you have a red legislature.
I got to go. If you can call tomorrow, call early, John. We'll pick up where we left off. I apologize. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and emergency personnel, and those lawyers who are working as I speak all over the country, including my beautiful, brilliant wife. Keep at it. See you tomorrow.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.